When I found out my jeans were made using cow liver and sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying reconsider labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, dropping off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may contain vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR. WWNR, Beckley.
Tonight's Head On the Bodkin Kick. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, we're working for you now. Bodkin Kick.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Head On for a Thursday night, almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. I'm Bob Kincaid, and it's another, Thomas Stearns Eliot said April is the cruelest month, breeding lilacs out of the dead ground. I concur in the sentiment, although I'm fresh out of lilacs, I'm afraid. But it is kind of cold and gray and miserable as I look out the WWNR official color weather window. And so, I got a little cup of tea going for me, some Bigelow orange and spice. No caffeine. It's just a pleasant thing. Phone numbers, 252-6200. Outside the local dialing area, 800-620-620, just like our frequency, WWNR, that's 9967 on your telephone keypad. Well, we stream live for you every night on the internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. It's easy. And from there, you can jump through the portal to my website with lots and lots of traffic, too. HeadOnRadio.com. Join in the free message boards there. You can also send emails to Bob@HeadOnRadio.com. By far the more reliable of our current email options. Did the oxymoron talk about this story on his show today from noon to three? The Florida Supreme Court today outright rejected Flush Flemball's appeal of the state's investigation into his doctor shopping. By a 4-3 vote, the court said, there's not even anything here worth considering. This is pure bug spray. Of course, you know that Flemball claimed he had terrible pain. Terrible, terrible pain, my friends, and that's how I became addicted to prescription painkillers. Yeah, of course, being a right-wing commentator, he, of course, is a rotten, filthy liar because he wasn't, getting those Oxycontins by prescription, was he? No, he wasn't. He was buying them on the street. He was, therefore, addicted to street drugs. But he says that his privacy rights were threatened. The ACLU joined in on that one. Of course, he continues to hammer them, as does the freak that follows me from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., the Savage Wiener. Because I guess the ACLU is only good when it's helping out wing nuts. So, this is the fun part. These right wing nuts are so enamored of their false religiosity. I would advise them to pay attention to, I would advise everybody to pay attention to the irony god. Because out of the many, many names for God, the merciful and the compassionate, somewhere in there, somebody needs to add ironic. Because now that the Florida Supreme Court has rejected this drug-addled moron's appeal, he only has one hope. He has one hope now. And that is to appeal to one of these, pay attention, one of these out-of-control, activist, unaccountable federal district judges. It's his only hope now. Otherwise, the state of Florida's investigation goes forward, Flimball gets indicted, and winds up doing, if there's any justice, winds up doing some time making little rocks out of big rocks. Now, he is free speech, I'm all for free speech. I'm a First Amendment fiend. And while I disagree with most of the miserable, the rotten lies that Flimball puts out there, I can't quibble with his right to say them. But of course, the other issue is not just free speech. There's the issue of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What goes around comes around. Karma, call it cabbage, I don't care. So with that in mind, let us consider, if you will, a couple of transcripts from the oxymoron. This is from October the 13th, 1995.
St. Paul, Minnesota. A state legislator, a Democrat, spent hours driving drunk around Minnesota on Wednesday, threatening to kill himself with a BB gun and talking by car phone to people who begged him to stop and get help for his alcoholism. Name is Bob Johnson. He was arrested, my friends, on a well-traveled two-lane highway just outside Bemidji, if I'm pronouncing that right, I hope I am, and was extremely drunk, according to the county sheriff. Said he was driving erratically, taken to the county jail, and placed under a suicide watch. This situation on Wednesday was so tense that the state Democratic Party asked the media to hold off reporting details until it was resolved. Now get this. Bob Johnson, drunk driving around Minneapolis, threatening to shoot himself with a BB gun. Wonder where Al Cowlings was this night. Was drunk and calling people on the phone. Listen to this. Bob Johnson was once listed in legislative directories as a school social worker, quote, recognized for work in fields of youth and family problems and alcohol drug prevention. Another Democrat, another folks, these people are taking it really hard. You know, these Democrats threatening to kill themselves with a BB gun, getting drunk. Here a guy who had been cited, who had been recognized for his great work in alcohol and drug abuse, is drunk on the highways. This is just, it's tragic, but it's outrageously funny.
So there's that. And then there's December 16th, 1994. Backing up a little bit.
So we're not going to get on, we don't fault these animals for a lack of discipline, but we get on human beings who are fat for a lack of discipline. And you know it, and I know it. But here's the thing that struck me about this. We have alcoholics and drug addicts in our society, don't we? And what do we say about them? Well, they can't help it. Why, it's genetic. Why, they have a disease. Why, put one thimbleful of scotch in front of them and they can die. We totally exempt them from any control over their lives, do we not? Some athlete will spend 2 years snorting lines of coke. He can't help it. You know, it's genetic. These people, they're predisposed to having this addictive syndrome. They can't help. Yeah, like that line of cocaine just happened to march into the hotel, go up to the athlete's room, and put itself right there in front of him on his blotter.
See, that's why I despise this filthy pig. That's why I don't care. Now, I believe that the answer to America's drug and alcohol problem is greater education. Ooh, I use that word. I think The answer to America's drug and alcohol problem is greater education, earlier education, and serious and concerted intervention when problems develop. I don't think you make a crack addict a better person by sending him to federal prison for 10 years. You make a better crack addict out of them. I don't believe that a person who has been caught DUI and has not harmed anyone, no wrecks, no nothing, I don't believe that person deserves jail time. You know, because I'm a liberal. Well, I'm also financially conservative, and I don't believe that there's any public good served by putting a person on the dole in the regional jail for a day or 6 months or whatever. Hurting people while drunk is a different story. But in both of these instances, we are far better served to take a proactive, to take seriously the problem and try to address it and help that individual overcome the problem. And you don't do that by sending them to prison. However, Flush Flemball, miserable, rotten addict that he is, because of the fact that he has screamed in the past for the punishment of people with drug problems, deserves what he gets. Now, bear in mind, he's, you know, the guy brings down $25 million a year. You know he's not going to do any time. But if there was a justice system in this country, once he's convicted, there would be a sentencing hearing, and all of his words could be thrown right up in his face, and he could go to some nasty little state penitentiary in Florida and be some big guy's girlfriend for about 15 years. As you sow, so shall you reap. Unless, of course, you make $25 million a year. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On. Nearly 70 million Americans, men, women, the old and the young, share a common enemy, arthritis. Make a difference in the fight against arthritis. Team up with Colony Drug, the Arthritis Foundation, and Southern Communications for Beckley's second Arthritis Walk, Thursday, May 19th, on the McManus Rail Trail at New River Park. Have fun and help fight the nation's leading cause of disability, arthritis. Form a team with your friends and family. For details, call Colony Drug and Wellness Center at 252-5305 and join us May 19th for a walk in the park.
You know us. We're your neighborhood Leader drugstore. Independently owned by people who care, we're able to give you fast, friendly service, and we're proud of our prices. Generic, Leader brand, or national, Leader prices are hard to beat.
It's true. You really can save. But that's only one of the reasons why Leader's my favorite drugstore. I like the people. They're so friendly. They really want to help. And Leader accepts most major prescription plans.
Leader. It's your neighborhood. It's your drugstore.
And now today's health report, a nutritional boost. Older folks looking to strengthen their immune system may find the answer in a nutritional supplement full of antioxidants, vitamins, and minerals, says a report in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society. A group of seniors who drank the supplement for roughly 6 months had a total of 78 sick days compared to over 150 among an unsupplemented group. They also had more antibodies after being vaccinated against the flu, indicating a strong immunity to future infections. As adults age, some become deficient in the nutrients needed to ward off immobility, chronic disease, and chewing or swallowing problems. A well-balanced diet can help, but it's not always possible. With different nutrients to satisfy different health needs, this supplement may add the boost many seniors need. This has been today's health report to help you stay healthier longer, brought to you by Leader Drugstores. Find the location at the Leader Drugstore nearest you at myleader.com. Leader Drugstores, it's your neighborhood, it's your drugstore.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 20 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and again, the phone number is 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-WWNR, 9967. Learn it, know it, use it. Feel free. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're Head On. Jim.
Hey, sir.
How you doing?
fine. And are you, sir?
Getting along, I reckon.
Very good. It is a sort of a nasty evening out there, isn't it?
Yeah, I would like it if April would be April.
Oh, well.
Or maybe it is being April. I don't know.
Who knows? It's coming soon. But anyway, I was just doing one of my favorite things, reading a biography of George V.
Oh, yeah?
By Kenneth Rose. Yeah, you know, he was an interesting man, Sailor King,
yes.
People's King, they called him.
Mm-hmm.
And he did have a strange sense of humor. And I won't wax that long on this, but he did have a sign on his desk that said, "Whatever good I could do for any man, let me do it now, or I will not pass this way again."
Good advice.
And when he was a young man, he was put on a ship as a sailor. Many of the royals were.
Lord Mountbatten.
He claimed to have seen, rum, sodomy, and the lash, as Churchill said. But anyway, but he claimed to have seen the Flying Dutchman and wrote it down in his journal. And there was another incident when he was king that apparently there was a British diplomat to Paris named Sir Samuel Hoare, H-O-A-R-E.
Right.
And there had been some fracas at the Quai d'Orsay, and Hoare had to be recalled. And when George received him, he said, "Well, let us send no more coals to Newcastle and no more Hoare to Paris." And he said, and the man didn't even laugh.
Oh, now, you know what? That's a guy without a sense of humor.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, this was a grandfather of the current queen.
True.
Well, listen, I've got to admit to eat crow here when I heard about Kerry and Sanctorum.
How so?
Well, they are co-sponsoring a bill. Now, I had this on a flash basis. Repeat, a flash basis.
Okay.
That this is a bill that will allow pharmacists not to fill...
Oh, no. Jim, John Kerry's jumped on board with that, the conscience.
So.
Oh, my God. You know,
I have that on fairly good authority, but it is on a flash, I repeat, a flash basis.
The wimping out of the Democratic Party all across this great land is becoming quite repugnant.
And I would not, and were I not reasonably assured of this, I wouldn't even mention it on the program tonight, but
okay.
I believe it's true. I will be in contact with his office tomorrow and find out why.
Well, if it's, and by all means, report to us on it, please, Jim. But look.
If it's true, it's probably an effort on his part to reinstate himself with the Vatican.
No, it is an effort on his part to try to ameliorate these mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking freaks that he thinks he can somehow convince to vote for him because John Kerry thinks he is going to be the Democratic nominee in 2008.
Well, if he would change horses like that and would attempt to use a core belief of the church to his advantage when he had taken an entirely different position on it, that tells me something about him that I really did not know and that I did not want to know.
But it's not...
I had such great feelings and respect for him. I really did, as you well know.
Yes, I do. You have taken me to task from time to time, and I understand that. But it's not particularized to Senator Kerry. There is a great Democratic wimp out in this country of monumental proportions. William,
I just hope it's not true. I'm afraid that it's probably.
I would. I'm not a betting man, but you know, I got a fin in my pocket that says it's true.
But you know, Mr. Kincaid, and I'm saying this just from my personal standpoint, and I'm not trying to promote any agenda here. When I see people who are trying to put, and this is what they're, in my opinion, are doing, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, and I say this respectfully, okay?
Okay.
I don't like the idea of trying to put words in God's mouth, okay?
Sure. I think one does that at one's peril.
I saw the pageantry of the entombment of John Paul II and the accession to the papal throne of Benedict XVI. I thought, what is this all about? I mean, this is about a man who lived 2,000 years ago, who came into this world in very modest circumstances, born in a stable with lowing cows and braying donkeys. And he was a working class man.
Yes.
He worked with his hands.
Yes.
Carpenter.
Right.
And, of course, when he taught to people who were the pariahs, the outcast, not the hoi polloi, not the rich people.
Yeah.
And also,
he was a liberal.
And the only beast he ever rode of any prominence, I think, was a donkey or a mule.
That's really the only thing that's mentioned.
And the only robe that was ever cast on his shoulders was out of mockery.
True.
The only crown he ever worn was thrown to torment him.
True.
And he may have carried a walking staff, or the only other staff that I knew that he carried was a lance thrust at his side.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he was God, who came to this earth
yep.
in the form of man to save his world. That's my personal belief.
And you're welcome to it.
And when I see people trying to use that noble mission for their own advantages, I tell you this, and I speak verily, it will be better for that person to have never been born.
But, you know, we wait patiently for them to find that out.
All I can say is this. I mean, you know, I cannot understand that. And that is the reason I have such a strong position on the separation of church and state and politics and religion.
Sure. And you're in good company. You're right there with James Madison.
I mean, the two just weren't there. I mean, there's an emulsion there. It's like oil and water. The two were not meant to mix.
No. And, you know, these people that say, well, I've got a little story for later, so I hope maybe you'll still be listening. But Madison addressed it. He makes it, and he puts the lie to all this stupidity from the right wing that the government never intended to keep religion out of government. Of course they did. They specifically did that. But here's another story for you, Jim. You're going to love this one. You mentioned the new pope. I like to call him Pope Rat. His Holiness has declared that, I had the story about how the Spanish Parliament is going to legalize gay marriage and gay adoption in Spain.
Right, the Cortes.
And, Vatican has come out and said that gay marriage is the same as Nazism.
Well, he's the one who is known as God's Rottweiler. Well, I hate to tell people, God doesn't need a Rottweiler.
No, no.
I don't think he needs any type of Rottweiler or any type of person like that. I mean, when I imagine the deity enthroned in his own majesty, and particularly one day when he may return to this earth, who knows? Who am I to say? I don't think he's going to need any kind of Rottweilers to enforce whatever his desires may be. And for anyone to assume that position, I think, is entirely out of place, for lack of a better expression.
Well, the Vatican is now actively encouraging rebellion. They are fomenting rebellion, and or at least they're attempting to in Spain.
Well, they can do this if they want to, but I'll tell you one thing. They will do it at their own peril, and if they're doing it trying to increase their ranks, and trying to promote some type of agenda, then it will backfire in their faces, because that sort of thing is just not going to work. I mean, it didn't work for them back in the 15th and the 16th century. They may have controlled part of the Holy Roman Empire, but they were later in 1870 made prisoners in the Vatican. And maybe that's what needs to happen again. I don't know. But what I do see in all that pomp and pageantry is something that I don't think was intended to be by the person around whom it is completely surrounded 2,000 years ago when he walked this earth in the form of a mortal human being.
Well, I concur with you, Jim. We've got
and
to take our break.
And I submit that, and I don't mean to offend anybody.
I know. Yeah, that is very gently said, and I appreciate it.
And, you know, I am a Christian, and I am proud of the fact that I'm a Christian.
Yeah, and you kind of take umbrage at a bunch of right-wing freaks who barely know how to read telling you that you're not. I understand that. Jim, thanks so much. We've got to take our break now.
God bless.
You too. Let's do bottom of the hour break. News update from Carl Mack, followed by the Workers Independent News Service. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl. Mac WWNR News. Senator Byrd has taken the plight of a West Virginia National Guard soldier's widow straight to the top of the Defense Department. In a Senate hearing yesterday, Byrd told Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld that Lisa Vance of Morgantown has had difficulty in getting government benefits. Lisa and Sergeant Gene Arden Vance Jr. were married in the fall of 01. His unit was put on alert after the 11th, and he went with his unit to Afghanistan, where he was killed in May of 2002. Byrd says Pentagon paperwork errors nearly cost Lisa Vance $50,000 in life insurance funds. He says she has never received the financial counseling to which she's entitled, and she received no explanation of the health insurance benefits that she was eligible for immediately after her husband's death. Byrd questioned the military's efforts to train its casualty assistance officers to assist grieving widows. Charleston-Jaeger Airport will undergo a $900,000 expansion this summer. Airport Director Rick Atkinson made that announcement yesterday at a meeting of the airport's governing board. Atkinson says four gates will be added in addition to another jet bridge that would enable Jaeger passengers to walk to their plane without being exposed to weather. The man who made a documentary about Warren McGraw's first campaign for state senate in 1972 has made another about McGraw's unsuccessful campaign last year to retain his seat on the state Supreme Court. The Last Campaign will premiere Sunday at the West Virginia International Film Festival in Charleston. Producer and director Wayne Ewing of Aspen, Colorado, will attend. And about 400 state workers will get a pay raise in July. Money's already in the new state budget. The raises go to caseworkers and supervisors in the Child Protective Services Division of DHHR. Governor Manchin proposed and state lawmakers approved a $3.3 million package that includes pay raises of about $2,000 for CPS workers and also money for hiring bonuses for new caseworkers in Berkeley, Jefferson, Monongalia, and also Wood counties. Periods of showers tonight, temperatures in the low 40s. For Friday, a chance of showers, warmer, thunderstorms possible by Friday afternoon. And Friday's high near 60. Showers and thunderstorms likely Friday night, much warmer, low 53. And showers and thunderstorms in the morning on Saturday, then partly cloudy in the afternoon, Saturday's high near 60. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Republican Governor Matt Blunt has signed a bill eliminating Medicaid in Missouri by 2008. It's the first step in wiping out the Medicaid coverage of 100,000 of Missouri's poorest people. A committee is supposed to report back by January on a replacement program for Medicaid. Mike Hoy is the spokesman for the Missouri Catholic Conference. He says this action violates the Catholic Church's culture of life philosophy, because providing basic human dignity, including medical care, to the least among us is a moral obligation of government.
It definitely is a part of the culture of life. We found, for example, that when Medicaid health coverage for pregnant women, when Missouri expanded that from like 133 to 185% of the federal poverty level, the very next year, the number of abortions went down dramatically. So we do think that it is part of the culture of life to ensure that people have health coverage.
Nearly 250 health care facilities across the country could be facing a day of dirty laundry if Angelica Textile Services does not meet demands of its workers. Earlier this week, two more Angelica plants voted to join five others in commencing a strike on May 5th if demands are not met. 12 other plants have voted to walk out in a show of solidarity with the striking plants. Angelica has plants across the country that provide cleaning services for hospitals and other healthcare facilities. The workers are seeking a contract that would guarantee adherence to labor laws, as well as better health and safety standards at plants. The workers, represented by Unite Here, workers say they work in unsanitary conditions where repetitive strain injuries are common.
Nearly half of U.S. workers in the private sector, 47%, have no paid sick days. Legislation introduced in the U.S. Senate by Senator Ted Kennedy would require employers with more than 15 employees to provide 7 paid sick days a year for both private and public sector workers. Deborah Ness, president of the National Partnership for Women and Families, says this is pro-family legislation that Republicans and Democrats should support.
It cuts across all demographic groups. It's really an issue that affects every working family in America. And so our hope is that all of our elected officials who say that they care about family values and want our families to be strong and healthy will get on board and support this legislation.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. Having recently paid your taxes, you may be interested to know that according to Citizens for Tax Justice, 82 of the top 275 U.S. companies paid no federal income taxes in at least 1 year between 2001 and 2003. The years they paid no income tax, these companies reported $102 billion in profits. They got tax rebates of $12.6 billion. The nominal tax rate on profits for large corporations is 35%, but these companies paid an average of just 18.4% over 3 years. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid, Head On.
About 24 minutes before 8 o'clock, I'm Bob. This is Head On. Mentioned something in our conversation with Jim about a little something going on in Spain. The Vatican is now calling people who voted to treat, you know, gay people like human beings, Nazis. And maybe their view of Nazism is skewed by virtue of the fact that the new pope used to be one. I don't know. The church came out and called for Spaniards to resist a new law that will allow same-sex marriage and gay adoption, called on Spaniards to resist that law the same way that they would have resisted Nazism. There's only one problem. There is a saint. John Paul II created a saint, Jose, Jose Escriva. Yeah, he's the father of Opus Dei, and Opus Dei is of course the KKK for Catholics. The father of Opus Dei was hand in glove with the fascists during the Spanish Civil War. The father of Opus Dei was tacitly approving of the bombing of Guernica. Which Pablo Picasso created that brilliant painting about. And, of course, that was aided and abetted by who? Yeah, that's right, the Nazis, the Germans, Hitler's Reich. Bought on the Franco-fascist side of the Spanish Civil War. And yet the church has the nerve to compare that law to Nazism. When, of course, Jesus Christ never said a word, not a word from Yeshua the Palestinian carpenter, not a word, at least among the Gospels, about homosexuality. Now, you get a lot of it from Paul the Tent Maker, but, you know, he was fooling around tanning hides and stuff, and that stuff will make you crazy. So you've got that. And, of course, the Vatican also came out, we've discussed this, came out against the Da Vinci Code and came out against Harry Potter, for heaven's sakes. Of course, that's no real surprise. I seem to recall during the last political campaign, the guy who ran against Nick Rahal came out and declared that Harry Potter was evil. Oh, Margaret. So that, you know, that's what we're dealing with. I mean, that kind of mindset where a continent being rapidly destroyed by disease is less important than a children's book. A comet being destroyed by disease is less important than whether a couple of Spanish women can live together and pass their property on one to the other and have the same benefits, that kind of thing. Which to me, and you know, I guess I'm just liberal and crazy, it's pretty out there. But I did mention in talking with Jim, James Madison's writings in Federalist Number 10, and of course he signed that Publius, but we know that Publius was James Madison. And he said in Federalist Number 10 sometimes, and I quote, "A religious sect may degenerate into a political faction." And Federalist Number 10 is largely concerned with the fears that the framers had for what factionalism would do to the republic. And so that it's a pretty plain statement that religiosity devolving into factionalism was something we did not want in our new government. And it sort of underpins the whole idea that, yes, they really did mean for religion not to be involved in government. But listen to that quote. "A religious sect may degenerate into a political faction." Now, the key word there, as far as I'm concerned, is degenerate. Who could have imagined that James Madison would be not only a brilliant draftsman and advocate, but a prophet as well? Degenerate. A religious faction may degenerate into a religious sect may degenerate into a political faction. And isn't that exactly what we're dealing with today? A religious sect degenerated into a political faction of degenerates? Degenerates degenerating the message of a Palestinian carpenter who tried to get people in a harsh and brutish world to be a little nicer to each other? Who had hate in his heart for no man, no woman. And here we deal with a bunch of people who have degenerated that message into a steady stream of hate for all kinds of folks. James Madison, 200 years ago and more, envisioning that religion in America would become a bunch of degenerates. And degenerates they are. It turns out, you remember Justice Sunday last week. Sunday, Justice Sunday. Bono was nowhere to be seen. That was organized by the Family Research Council. And the president of the Family Research Council is one Tony Perkins. Norman! And Tony Perkins, he's not a minister, he's not a preacher, nope. Nope, not at all. What he is, he's a guy, another one of these pasty-faced, pale, sad, sick, racist white people from Louisiana. And that's not to say all Louisianans are racist, because they're not. But this guy is. Now, I tell you, time and time and time again, that the Republican Party and a lot of the right-wing religion industry is peopled with unreconstructed, degenerate racists. And it is. Don't get mad at me. It is what it is. And we all know that when my party, the Democratic Party, started trying to get away from the filthy, nasty, evil, hell-begotten practices of institutionalized racism in the 50s and 60s, late 40s even, when my party started getting away from that, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. A bunch of those Democrats, Southern Democrats, who racism now, racism tomorrow, racism forever. You know, that bunch. They became, come on, that's right, Republicans. Of course they did. And so 4 years ago, this Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council, he addressed the Louisiana chapter of the Council of Conservative Citizens, the CCC. which surprisingly makes similar noises as KKK. Now, they, the CCC is and remains America's premier white supremacist organization. And it is the direct offspring of a little something that rose up in Mississippi, among other places, called the White Citizens Councils. And they were the ones that battled the idea that little black children had as much as a right to go to school in a decent school as little white children. Segregation now, segregation then, segregation forever. The white citizens' councils were the darlings of the likes of Lester Maddox and George Wallace and Strom Thurmond. And when the heat was a little too much for them after the murders that they had advocated began to be decried across this nation, Emmett Till, they changed their name to the Council of Conservative Citizens, thinking thereby that by having the initial CCC instead of KKK, that maybe some people, dim, slow-witted, mouth-breathing, the same kind of people that think they're actually going to win the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes, that they would somehow, CCC, I remember the CCC, wasn't that the Civilian Conservation Corps? Didn't they build all them lovely state parks? Yeah. So in 1996, Tony Perkins, it turns out, he paid. Remember David Duke? Klansman David Duke? Klansman Grand Wizard David Duke? Well, Tony Perkins paid David Duke $82,000. For his mailing list. Tony Perkins wanted the list of people to whom David Duke sent his hateful Klan mail because he was the campaign manager for a guy running for Senate in Louisiana. Perkins later got fined, or the campaign he ran got fined, $3,000 by the Federal Election Commission for trying to cover up the money that he paid to David Duke. Now, I told you about how James Dobson at Justice Sunday spat on Jewish people the world over by declaring that, the biggest Holocaust in world history came out of the Supreme Court with Roe v. Wade. And later on, Dobson compared on his radio show, well, it was a couple of weeks ago, about April 11th, he compared the black-robed men on the Supreme Court with the men in white robes, the Ku Klux Klan. And there he stands, anointing the head of a Klansman himself, Tony Perkins. Oh, this Justice Sunday event, I'm still not over it, and we need to keep talking about it because it is pure, unmitigated race hate, gay baiting, poison. Justice Sunday had its little token Catholic, a guy named William Donahue. We've talked about him before. He runs the Catholic League. And he's the one that hollers that the Senate's refusing to confirm William Pryor, the former Attorney General of Alabama, because he's Catholic. No, it's because he's a nasty little right-wing fascist ideologue. But never mind that. Facts don't get in the way when we're talking about the idiotologues of the Republican Party. So last Sunday he says, "There isn't de jure discrimination against Catholics in the Senate. There is de facto discrimination. They've set the bar so high with the abortion issue, we can't get any real Catholics over it." And, of course, William Donahue, I suppose, has the imprimatur of approval from the Papal See, now run by a former Nazi, to declare what a real Catholic is. You know, for my money, a real Catholic is Bishop Oscar Romero, who was martyred in the 80s fighting the fascists that were funded by, who? That's right, Ronald Reagan. So they got William Donahue up there standing there. And they got Tony Perkins standing there, a good old-fashioned Southern fried racist. And then, they got another guy up there, too. Because Donahue was sharing the stage with Southern Baptist Theological Seminary President Dr. Albert Moeller. Now, why is that funny? Why is that ironic? Because during a 2000 TV interview, Dr. Albert Moeller, "Help me, doctor, I'm sick." "I'm sorry, I'm not that kind of doctor. I can, however, pour some strychnine down your throat and hope you get well." Dr. Albert Moeller said in 2000, "As an evangelical, I believe that the Roman Catholic Church is a false church. It teaches a false gospel, and the Pope himself holds a false and unbiblical office." And the site where they did Justice Sunday, where William Donahue, the leader of the nation's largest so-called Catholic civil rights organization, the church where he was standing right next to Dr. Albert Moeller, Highview Baptist Church, that mega church, that great big McChurch, that's Dr. Moeller's home church. So you could say that given Dr. Moeller's stances, you could say of Mr. Donahue that he could echo the sentiments of the psalmist when he said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." But that's okay. Dr. Albert Moeller spouted this typical 150-year-old right-wing religion industry hate for Roman Catholics. And Donahue just swallowed it. And he said, "We're fed up and we're on the same side. And if the secular left is worried, they should be worried." And I don't know if you've heard about it, but this flap about Air America's host, Randy Rhodes. There was a slimy little piece on the Drudge Report about her. You know, "Oh, she's being investigated because she threatened the president." Oh, come on. We're the kumbaya bunch. We don't threaten people. But here is William Donahue. "If the secular left is worried, they should be worried. Well, put them to the sword. They don't believe like we do. They deserve to die." So do you see what we're dealing with when we talk about things like Sunday Justice Sunday? Do you see? We're talking about racism that's had its face scrubbed clean and a little wiped down behind the ears, marching proudly in expensive suits through the nation's capital, declaring that they have, in fact, completed their beer hall putsch and that they are going to bring their fascist religion industry theocracy to America. Not, they're not content to enjoy it amongst themselves. Oh, no, baby, they're going to share it with us. I'll take a pass on sharing their fascism. So the Family Research Council is run by a racist. Plain, pure, and simple. So what does it say about the people who applaud him and his efforts? "You shall by their fruits you shall know them." Are you familiar with that one? Perkins stood there and spoke and had his little right wing religion industry Nuremberg there in Louisville, and the faithful sat in the crowd. I saw footage of they sat in the crowd and they clapped for a racist. They clapped for Tom DeLay. They clapped for Bill Frist, for people who believe that judges who don't think the way they do deserve to die. Do you understand what we're dealing with here? And I address my side of the debate.
Do you understand what we're dealing with? Tony Perkins even went so far as to run for the Senate himself in 2002. And the David Duke issue followed him. And being a good Republican, Tony Perkins did what Republicans do. He told an outright rotten, stinking, dirty lie. He issued an abject, flat denial that he'd ever had anything to do with David Duke. And then he denounced him. There's only one problem. And there are still enough of us left in the reality-based crowd that it was a problem for Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council. His signature was on the document authorizing the $82,000 purchase of Duke's List. And we hadn't quite, by 2002, gotten to the point in this country where the Republicans could say, well, my signature's there, but it's not really my signature. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Just gainsay, you know, oh, it didn't happen, and you got a bunch of people clapping in the pews of, no, they don't have pews. Come on, this is one of those mega Baptist churches. They got seat cushion, theater seating, sitting there clapping for this Klansman. No, he didn't really have anything to do with the KKK except for that $82,000 he paid for the Klan List from the Klan Grand Wizard, but that's okay. And that is what put forward Sunday Justice Sunday. Inspiring, isn't it? Again, James Madison, a religious sect may degenerate into a political faction. And that political faction is up to its fat, wattled neck in degenerates, invoking the name of Christ. Christ help us. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes, and to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated, the birds and fish are still dying, and most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Have you ever heard the expression, you're not getting older, you're getting better? Well, when it comes to driving, that doesn't happen naturally, but it can happen with a little effort. Just ask 68-year-old H.R. Robison.
Personally, I exercise 4 to 5 times every week. Anytime you exercise your body, you're exercising your mind as well. You feel more confident, not only in driving, but in all aspects of life.
For a free brochure, call 1-800-993-7222. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
Do you need a speaker for a civic or educational group? The Speakers Bureau at the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection will provide a speaker on a variety of environmental topics. Call 1-800-654-5227 and ask for the Speakers Bureau.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast. And now, here's the 5-day forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Tonight, rain and a threat of storms overnight down to 46. And tomorrow, again, a wet one. We have showers in the morning, along with showers in the afternoon with a threat of storms, breezy 63. Back to 63 for Saturday. Our unsettled weather pattern continues with showers and storms in the morning, windy, and a chance of rain for the afternoon Saturday. I'm meteorologist Stephanie DeLuca from the Weather Channel.
Thank you for listening to the station that puts you one-on-one with the people and the issues that matter most to you. News Talk 620, WWNR.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after eight. I guess by this time, America's excuse for a president is getting ready to come on. One of these days, we're going to be all high-tech, and I'm going to be able to monitor that stuff from right here where I'm sitting. But I can't do it right now. He's going to ostensibly come out and explain to America that he's not a fairy, and he doesn't have a magic wand, and he can't make gas prices go down. That's right. He's not a fairy, even though he has recently been seen smooching with an Arab prince and leading him by the hand into the house. This is ostensibly about national energy policy, which is basically there's nothing cheap about it, but a thinly veiled excuse to enrich the oil companies. Now, you want to talk about something disturbing? ExxonMobil today announced the largest first quarter profit margin it has ever had, $7.86 billion with a B dollars. And you know what? You know what's funny? ExxonMobil lost money on the stock market today. Its share price fell because it didn't meet profit expectations. Can you imagine that? It posts the highest profit margin it has ever had, $7.86 billion, and the stock price still falls because people expected it to be even more greed-riddled, even more rapacious. And our Congressman Nick Rahal said, on the heels of Exxon announcing its largest first-quarter profit margin ever at $7.86 billion, I hope, keep hoping, Nick, keep hoping, I hope the president takes responsibility for failing to prevent the billions of dollars in tax breaks for the oil and gas industry that the U.S. House of Representatives approved last week under the guise of helping out American consumers at the gas pump. See, Congressman Rahal is a little bit nicer than me. Because I'll tell you what these people are. They're a bunch of miserable frauds. They're greed heads. And they're sick with the greed. They're sick with the greed. They have a disease of the... They're like the conquistadores landing in Mexico in, what, 1521? They have a disease of the heart that can only be cured by gold. That's what we're dealing with here. And you're paying for it, and I'm paying for it. And as Congressman Rahal noted, this rotten energy bill has next to nothing for developing alternative energy sources. We're going to wait. You know, this is another 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 years that we're going to wait. We're going to wait to develop alternative energy. My God, if we had taken it seriously beginning about 1973, can you imagine where we would be by now? It took us 10 years from scratch. It took us 10 years to get to the moon. Can you imagine where we would be with alternative energy in 32 years of American ingenuity? But you realize, of course, the oil companies don't want that American ingenuity. And they damn sure don't want alternative energy sources. They don't want the development of green energy. They don't want the development of solar or wind or geothermal. They don't want that. And then realistically, can you blame them?
When was the last time you caught a heroin dealer referring one of his junkies to a methadone clinic? So, ExxonMobil still has their little signs out there. Happy motoring! Detroit is being dragged kicking and screaming into the 21st century, trying to come up with something that will compete with the Toyota and Honda hybrids. Biodiesel is springing up around the Midwest, but not with the sanction of your government, my government. God only knows what kind of nickel and dime affair any alternative energy sources that aren't nuclear. God only knows what kind of paltry sum is in there for in that energy bill for solar, wind, geothermal. We could have some relief if we had a government that would lead instead of strapping on the high heels and the fishnet stockings and prostituting itself out to the Halliburtons and the Mobiles and the Texacos and the Chevrons and the Conocos and the Phillipses. But no, it's a lot more convenient to put the wood to you and me and just expect us to pay $2.50 at the pump or whatever, $3, $4, and like it, and choose between groceries and gasoline, between food and fuel. Now, you tell me who's out of touch with the American people. My party, that actually would like to do something about this, or the other party that thinks as long as ExxonMobil's profits are up, everything is beautiful? Let's sing. No, let's don't. Let's go to the phones. Brian's with us. Hey, Brian, you're head on. Haven't heard from you in a while.
How you doing, Bob?
Doing good. You?
Pretty good. I just wanted to get your take on a couple things I saw coming through the news wires today.
Sure. I saw them.
There's a push to toughen abortion consent moving through the Senate right now.
Yeah, it passed the House yesterday.
Right. What do you think about that?
I think it's wrong.
I think it's wonderful.
I knew you would. Because it's wonderful to make a felon out of someone who crosses a state line with a little girl who got raped by her daddy to get an abortion. That's wonderful.
Bob, you're stretching it there.
No, I'm not stretching it. That's what it does.
Well,
plain and simple.
Plain and simple? Good. Because you have a daughter, right?
Yep, three of them.
You want her to be able, do you want any one of them to be able to go get an abortion without you knowing?
Well, I'm not planning on raping my daughters, Brian.
Raping your daughter, if it's a case of incest, I'm pretty sure there would be something put in this bill to cover that.
Sorry, there's not. It's not there. A person, see, you got to understand, you got to think about places like Mississippi, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the activities of people like Eric Rudolph, the Christian abortion bomber, there's only one abortion clinic left in Mississippi, and that's in Jackson. And if you know the geography of Mississippi, everything's not close to Jackson. So in consequence of that, there are places in Mississippi where it is easier for a woman to go across the state line to Alabama to get one. And this is what that's aimed at. What we want to do is make the poor people have the babies, even though we hate the poor people. I can't figure that out for the life of me, Brian.
I don't believe that's what it is, Bob. I think it's a thing of trying to get just some parents to know what their kids are doing. I mean, I don't agree with them giving out birth control in school. I don't agree with the fact that my daughter at 14 now can go get an abortion without telling me because she decides to get freaky with one of the kids at school.
Well, Brian, that's only if she has the approval of a circuit judge of this state. And, you know, that's a pretty tall order, getting a 14-year-old to go. And, you know, frankly, most 14-year-old girls, at least the ones that I know, would rather finally sit down and fess up to daddy than sit there and tell a judge.
Right, but if in the case of rape, incest, then I could see it going through without the parent's consent.
Okay.
And can understand that.
But that's not what this bill does. This is just an attempt to further, you know, well, I mean, you know, it's a male-dominated attempt to control women's bodies and send them back to the Stone Age. And I am pro all human beings, not just the ones who have a Y chromosome. I believe in all humans' rights.
Well, I believe in all humans' rights, too, but also believe in the rights of unborn babies.
Well, whose rights are, and at that point you have to make a value judgment, whose rights are more important? You're going to have to make that call, the living person or the little wad of tissue.
Well, in the womb I knew you.
Huh?
In the womb I knew you.
Well, yeah, fine, you know, that's well and good, but there's a lot more in the Bible about the love of God for people on the on the face of the planet than there is in the womb.
Well, it also says, you know, if you're a Bible-believing Christian and you believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, it says, in the womb I knew you.
Yeah, it does.
And, you know, I mean, it's a judgment call. I think that's why the conservative appeals court thing right now that's going on and all the stink that's been raised over that, I think that's why it's scaring the Democrats to death, because you honestly believe that there's going to be people in there that won't treat the Constitution as a living, breathing, live entity, but will treat it as a document for what it is and the way it was written and take it at face value.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, Brian. I hope you can continue to listen. I've got the actual language from the Constitution here in front of me from, I believe it's Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution that speaks to presidential appointments. And you know, there's not a word in there. I mean, you talk about the Constitution as a living, breathing document. How about the Constitution as it was written, Brian? Because there is not a word in the Constitution about the Senate being compelled to an up or down vote on a presidential nominee. Not one little word. But we got to roll to the break. Always good to hear from you, Brian. Take care.
All right.
Later. And a quick commercial break, and we'll be back. Your calls, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Stick around. I'm Bob.
Annual Beckley Raleigh County Chamber of Commerce Business Show, with over 75 business exhibits on display. Find out what businesses have to offer in Beckley Raleigh County. Network with area business representatives and take advantage of many business show special offers. Free admission, free parking, door prize drawings, exhibitor drawings and giveaways. Thursday, May 5th, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. Support the Beckley Raleigh County Chamber of Commerce members. They support your community. For more information, call 252-7328.
Welcome to the John Deere Lawn Care Show, Green and Growing. Today we're talking lawn care with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, help! My lawn looks like a Dalmatian.
Well, if you're seeing spots, it sounds like you have a case of spring dead spot, a disease of Bermuda grass caused by Leptospira coryi, sometimes in conjunction with other fungi. The disease rots stolons and roots. As a result, bright and dead spots develop as grass emerges from dormancy.
I guess a leash won't work. What else can I do to get it under control?
First, you can prevent spring dead spot by maintaining adequate potassium levels, meaning don't over-fertilize. Don't fertilize too late in the season, and don't let thatch build up more than 3/4 of an inch. If you already have dead spots, replace the soil and sod of the affected areas. Then apply a systemic fungicide in the late summer or early fall.
With those tips, I won't be seeing spots for long, Bill. Tune in next time to help keep your lawn green and growing.
Hello, I'm Dennis Franz, talking about an issue close to my heart. Every 14 seconds, a child loses a parent to HIV and AIDS. It's happening all over the world. In Africa, 11 million children are suffering because their mother and or father has died. These kids live in very poor communities, and they lack basic necessities like food, clothing, shelter, and medical care. You can make a difference. Go to worldvision.org to learn how.
Here's Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back. 20 and a half
minutes after 8 o'clock. I ran into the next room just long enough to see President Bobblehead trying to answer yet another canned question. Oh, brother. What a dog and pony show. I walked in just as he was trying to expound upon religion. That was a beauty. Let's see. Jethro is with us. Hey, Jethro, how you doing? You're head on.
Bob, what's up?
I don't know it. You?
Speaking of softball questions, this James Guckert, James Gannon story starting to break.
Logs, the Secret Service logs?
Yes, the Bush's Monica Lewinsky.
I'm beginning to wonder.
Or it's either Bush or Rove, or maybe both.
Well, or Scott McClellan.
Yes.
Because we do know that he was a known habitué of gay bars in Austin.
Right. So he's been signing in he goes under the name of, I think, Guckert, but he's been signing into the White House under Gannon.
Right.
But there was a couple of visits where he didn't sign out.
He signed in, but he didn't sign out. Having his Eagles moment there, where you can check. What is it? You can check out, but you can never leave.
Right. Anytime you like, but you can never leave. But there's a side story and an underlying current to that. They're saying that this guy is really Johnny Gosch from Iowa, who was abducted when he was 11 years old.
Johnny Gosch?
Gosch, G-O-S-C-H. They printed a story about it, and they fired him. And then they had Bo Dietl. He had a show on MSNBC. He brought it up on Friday, and that was his one and only appearance.
Yeah, came and went.
Right, so he lost his show. He and another girl, they had some kind of a show. But, yeah. They're saying, and of course, that brings back the George H.W., Pappy Bush, and his connection with the homosexual trade and the
Franklin scandal.
The young boys, they're saying, gosh, they're thinking that maybe he got abducted and was mixed up in that, and somehow he's, working for him.
There's nothing in this that would surprise me. I mean, the whole business with Tom DeLay, Jethro, where he flew back from Texas to Washington on Air Force One, a couple of days ago, that reminded, there's so many things about this Bush administration that are so very Soviet. You remember how someone that was said to be embattled in the Kremlin would show up at the May Day parade there at the at Red Square waving to the crowd, and the next thing you heard, he was dead?
Right, right.
There's an element of that about Tom DeLay where all this love and affection that's being poured out for him by the White House, it just reeks.
That plastic surgery on the eyes, too, for DeLay.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, and the new haircut.
Messed him up, yeah.
They're doing everything they possibly can. My favorite thing lately on DeLay is, have you seen this story out of Time magazine about the Cuban cigar?
I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's beautiful, Jethro. He said, this is something DeLay said a couple of years ago, about loosening sanctions against Cuba. He said, Fidel Castro will take the money. Every dime that finds its way into Cuba first finds its way into Fidel Castro's bloodthirsty hands. American consumers will get their fine cigars and their cheap sugar, but at the cost of our national honor. Well, last week, someone caught him. There was this picture of him with this big, fat cigar. And I know my cigars, Jethro.
Cuban cigar.
And it was a Hoyo de Monterey Corona, and it was a Cuban.
I hear you. Yeah, I was reading somewhere where there's been quite, over 1,000 Americans leave here and actually move down to Cuba for permanent residence. You never hear anything about that on the mainstream.
No.
There's been, several tens of thousands of people leave this country, since Bush has been in office. But what gets me is, everybody thinks he's such a moral, Christian, outstanding values guy, and, if it turns out that he's entertaining this this gay prostitute in the White House, where does the hypocrisy end?
It doesn't. I mean, that's the beauty of the. That's why we have Republicans, so that we never run out of hypocrisy. But they'll give it. Listen, if we had bedroom photos of George Bush getting it on with Guckert. The right-wing religion industry, Jethro,
They was just praying.
They was praying, and they was praying naked.
They was glorifying God.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Praise Jesus.
And so another thing, I, on the morning show, I heard them squalling about they're wanting $2 billion for Amtrak. And they're just raising Cain over that. And I just brought up the point that, well, you know, you're swallowing over $300 billion for Iraq, but you're going to choke on $2 billion for our own country and our own infrastructure.
That's
another thing that didn't make any sense to me. It's just, you know, it's just more of the same madness.
Oh yeah, well it's like going to the circus and watching all the clowns come out of the little bitty car.
Well, the morning show host, I mean, he's all for doing away with the passenger service from the airport. Now he's talking about doing away with the passenger service from the railroad. But then he wants to turn around and talk about development and, you know, business and all this stuff. And to me, that's talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Well, no, because you see, if we get rid of the passenger service at the airport and we get rid of the passenger service on the railroad, then when we have this wonderful development here in beautiful Beckley, it'll be a miracle.
Yeah.
And that'll make it all the more exciting.
Well, who wants to develop in a place where there's no rail service or you know, no commercial flight service? And that's a good, to me, that's a good return on your tax dollars, where all this money that we're sending to Israel and Iraq and propping up all these other, you know, propping up the Saudi regime and propping up Mubarak in Egypt, that money could be much better used at home. I mean, you take $300 billion in Iraq, that would be about $2 billion for each state, each 50 states. And I think we could do a lot better with that $2 billion here at home than we could, you know, just continually pouring that money down that empty hole in Iraq.
Can you imagine a rapid transit authority for all of West Virginia, where you could, for a reasonable fee, get on something in Beckley and be in Huntington in a couple of hours?
That would be nice, and that would be a great return on your taxpayers' dollars, and that would make it worth paying those taxes. But when they're going to do it on these frivolous wars and all this other foolishness and propping, you know, and the trade deficit with China, and I just, you know, we're fiddling while the town's burning down around us.
Yeah, we are, and you know, shame on the uninformed and the foolish, Jethro. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, with this little radio show here, I'm not going to change the minds of any Bush voters, and that's not what I set out to do. I don't give a tinker's damn about the Bush voters. I really don't. If the earth opened up and swallowed them, I wouldn't shed a tear. But there are people out there that are, mumbling and wandering along through their lives, and they can't be bothered to pay attention. But, you know, if they happen to click across Fox News and they hear, George W. Bush went to church today, well, they feel like America's all right. And shame on them.
Right. And so, yeah, and Jeff, he's the co-host now from 9 to 9:30 every morning.
Really?
Yeah, it's Dumber and Dumbest, the show, from 9 to 9:30.
You're a hard man, Jethro.
Well, just, you know, man's got to tell the truth, buddy.
I know. Hey, we got to take our break, Jethro.
All right, Bob.
All right, it's good to hear from you, man.
Nice talking to you.
Later.
Bye.
Okay, break time. A little something from Carl Mack, followed by Jim Hightower's evening commentary. That should be, it always proves informative and enjoyable. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Yeah.
You're free, and freedom is beautiful. And, you know, it'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we will.
Head on.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Governor Manchin has fired Manfred Holland, director of the Division of Juvenile Services. He did not give him a reason why. Holland says he received a letter from the governor yesterday saying he no longer needed his services. That was his last day on the job. Holland says he has always been vocal and always been a professional. If the governor decides to go in different directions, that is how the game is played. Holland was a will and pleasure employee and says he does not know if race was an issue in his termination. Bluefield Regional Medical Center should begin merger discussions with Princeton Community under recommendations in an action plan adopted by Bluefield's Hospital Board. The plan was adopted yesterday. Bluefield Regional Medical Center Interim CEO Steve Kaywood says the plan follows findings and recommendations discussed last month by the combined boards of the Bluefield Hospital and Bluefield Health Systems. Several recommendations were included in the plan, including building institutional and community support for the proposed merger plan and seeking support from community foundations to fund a study on merger discussions. Military honors and a large turnout of uniformed police officers are expected for Saturday's funeral for Tunney Hunsaker in Fayetteville. The first professional opponent of boxer Muhammad Ali and Fayetteville's longtime police chief died Monday at an Oak Hill extended care nursing home at age 75. Hunsaker lost to Ali by decision in September of 1960. After a six-round bout that marked the first professional fight for the boxing legend, then known as Cassius Clay. Hunsaker then returned to Fayetteville, where he served as police chief for almost 30 years. Hunsaker and Ollie stayed in contact throughout the years. Ollie attended Hunsaker's police retirement party in Fayetteville. That was in 1992. That's the news. Here's the forecast now for this evening. Then partly cloudy, chance of showers. Showers will most likely continue part of tonight with a low near 40. Then tomorrow, showers, thunderstorms by afternoon. Friday's high near 60. And for Friday night, showers and thunderstorms likely late in the night, mostly cloudy. Low Friday night near 53. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
Washington has a message for you. No. No on health care, college education, job training, food stamps, veterans benefits, etc. All of these programs and many more that meet basic needs of the American people are being sacrificed on the holy altar of budget cuts. America has many crying needs, our congressional leaders acknowledge, but the money has run out, so forget it. Go away. No. Besides, say our Congress critters, we're giving you the C-130J, so stop whining and be grateful for what you're getting. The what? The C-130J is supposed to be a massive new whiz-bang of a cargo plane for the Air Force, but it's really a massive boondoggle for the Lockheed Martin Corporation, which makes the thing. The plane has flaws, so many flaws that it cannot fly its intended combat missions. For example, it can't drop heavy equipment, which, hello, is a cargo plane's purpose. Also, it doesn't perform in cold weather, nor does it have the range to reach global hotspots where it would be needed. And its engines tend to stall out on takeoff. Plus, one more little thing, paratroopers can't jump out of it because the plane's design causes them to be pulled back and crash into the fuselage. The Pentagon has already bought 50 of these things for $2.6 billion. None are in combat. Instead, they're mostly sitting idle on various U.S. military bases. It's such a boondoggle that even Pentagon Chief Donnie Rumsfeld wants to stop production. Yet Lockheed lobbyists and the Air Force brass have been swarming Congress, which is about to give them another $5 billion to buy more C-130Js. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's your money. That's your health care, job training, education, and other real needs being squandered on pieces of worthless military junk. It's bad enough that Congress throws so much of our money at the war machine, but shouldn't we at least get back planes that work?
A message.
message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
All right, we're back. 23 and a half minutes in front of 9 o'clock. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. And, yeah, guilty as charged. I went in and watched The Excuse for a couple of minutes during the break. Oh, God. God. Why do you hate us so much? Why did you saddle us with this moron? You know, if he wasn't so wicked and wholeheartedly evil and bloodthirsty, he'd be the best comedy act in America. I caught this one comment. He was talking about private accounts, and he said, "Of course, I like to say, you know, the Congress set that. Those things are so good. The Congress set one up for themselves, and I like to say, if it's good enough for the Congress, it's good enough for the workers." The strings in my leg just about gave out, and I fell on the floor laughing. If it's good enough for the Congress, it's good enough for the workers. Whew! Of course, we understand that the Congress has a premium brand of health care that you could only really refer to as platinum. So, hey, Pinhead! President Pinhead, if it's good enough for the Congress, it's good enough for the workers, right? How about health care? Now, that'd be communism. That's communism, giving everybody health care. That'd be communism. We got to keep the money. We got to keep the money stream flowing to my contributors in the insurance industry. God, I despise a liar. And a liar and a hypocrite? Well, that's just a double bonus. You go to the line for two for that one. And then he went back to it again. He scared the daylights out of the entire world again. Well, it's just the Social Security. There's no such thing as a trust fund. It's just a file cabinet full of IOUs. Really? Really, you addle-pated oatmeal brain. Really? It's a file cabinet full of IOUs, is it? Dipstick, dimwit. Those are treasury bills, you fool! Backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. Oh, I remember. Your buddy Grover Norquist wants to squeeze the government and shrink the government until it's small enough to drown in a bathtub. Oh, what a sick, rotten punk he is. Then he says it's possible to set up Wall Street accounts where we'll have fair fee structures. Really, George? Really? Fair fee structures? Really? Are your fair fee structures going to be 0.6% like the administrative cost of Social Security? I don't think your buddies on Wall Street are going to go for that, are they, Pinhead? You damn liar. God, I despise a liar. I'm sorry, but the little old blue-haired ladies in the basement of the Southern Baptist Church where I was raised told me that there wasn't... Yeah, murderers, rapists, liars. Not number three on the really despicable list. We got number three in the White House. He doesn't bear false witness, sunshine. He brings it in railroad cars. Lord God, and like I said with Jethro, there are people who are sitting there,
well, he seems to be being nice, and maybe he won't start another war, because that's wonderful.
Let's go to the phones. David's with us. Hey, David, you're head on.
Yes, sir. Bob?
Yes.
This is David. I would like to talk to you about some of your comments about homosexuality and religious viewpoints on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
You mentioned Jesus specifically. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus didn't mention that. But,
yeah.
You know, a lot of Jesus's preaching and his sermons were based on broad categories. And, he talked about love and forgiveness and so on. But, you know, Jesus didn't mention a lot of things specifically. He didn't talk a lot about rape, murder, breaking and entering, gossiping, slander, libel, assassination, car theft. You know, there are a lot of things Jesus didn't mention specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, you know, there is an Old Testament and New Testament. There's the Old Law, and then there's the New Covenant. And Jesus did not, you know, there are a lot of things in the Old Testament that the New Testament Christians do not observe, and I understand that.
Yeah, like wearing clothing made of two fibers,
or homosexuality is mentioned in both testaments.
Well, yeah, if you buy into Paul, I don't buy into the paranoid ravings of a tent maker.
New Testament, though, sir.
And who made the New Testament, David?
Well, what are you supposed to believe out of the Bible, sir? I mean,
I don't care, David. I don't care what you believe. You can believe anything you want to.
Okay, well,
you can believe the paranoid ravings of a tent maker if you want to.
Okay, but you know, Jesus talked about that we're all sinners, and he talked about forgiveness. But you know, he did not specifically say that everything in the Old Testament was wrong. And you know, Jesus said, "Judge ye not." You know, you're not. But people misuse that saying. Judge ye not does not mean that you're not supposed to distinguish right from wrong. It means that God is your final judge. That's what that means, pretty much. And
yeah, well,
homosexuality, I've been taught that it's sinful. Now, I was taught not to beat people or call them names or kill them. But you know, if I'm in the school, or if I'm in a business, and a kid comes up to me with a gay pride badge on and says, "Well, sir, would you like to contribute to this?" If I say I don't believe in that, I think that's immoral behavior. You know, in some places I can get in trouble for that. You understand?
Well.
And,
No, I don't think there's any place you can get in trouble for saying that you...
In the school system, you can. There's hate speech rules now. And
really?
There are.
Well, you know...
They're real concerned about sexism, homophobia.
Well, the last time I checked, David, I hate to disagree with you, but the last time that I checked, we had this anti-bullying program promulgated by the Attorney General of West Virginia a couple of years ago.
Yes, sir.
And the West Virginians for the Family came out and got that removed from the schools so that the children could be called faggot and queer and lesbo and be beat on for it.
I don't agree with that, sir, and I think you're right on that count. But, you know, when you turn on... You know, the homosexual leaders that are radical, you know, there's a group called Queer Nation. Their motto is out of the closet and in your face.
Right, because they're tired of being spit on.
Like Queer Nation. I mean, they call themselves queer.
Yeah, they're tired of being...
Right,
and I'm not going to use the word, David.
That either.
David, you know, I'm not going to use the word, but I've heard white people complain about their people in the black community that will refer to each other with the N-word.
Well, they shouldn't.
You know what? They've got a right to. And what they are doing is they're doing what Lenny Bruce advocated about 50 years ago, and they're taking the starch out of that word. You know what I'm saying?
Well, a lot of black leaders disagree with what you just said, but Louis Farrakhan might agree with you or someone.
No. I'm not talking about Louis Farrakhan. The fact of the matter is, if I use the N-word, I'm wrong, and I know that I'm wrong.
Well,
and I have no right to use it. Right, but do you know what Lenny Bruce said, David?
I'm familiar with him to some degree. Yes, I know who he is.
Okay, what Lenny Bruce said is that we ought to use all these hateful words so often and so frequently that they absolutely lose their meaning.
Well, but Mr. Kincaid, that's not really fair, because what happens in social situations is a white kid who wants to fit in, and he has buddies, and they call each other names, you know, and he thinks that he can, and it's an ignorant thing to do, but, you know... The kid will get the kid's beaten up for saying that. There's the people who observe it, like the Beckley Woodrow player that got in trouble. They say, well, that was justified because he called him a racist name. And you know, no one should really use the word because it's an awful word.
Right. The best bet is to just not use it. And
no one should use it though.
And
it's ignorant for the people who were the victims of that to use it also, because. If you use it around me jokingly, it lets people's guards down. And I wouldn't say that because I know that it's so offensive And you learn by being in the world that you don't do that. And I think it's a bad word, but I think that there are times where it's a sort of in-your-face thing to where it instead of creating racial harmony, it creates worse problems.
Well, see, I guess my problem, David, is that we are beset in this country with real, tangible, identifiable problems.
Right.
Being on the way to $3 a gallon gas is a real, tangible, identifiable problem. And that poses a greater threat to the health of this nation than whether or not two guys in Frisco want to be able to pass their property on
to
each other.
Well, I agree with that too, sir. But, you know, a lot of things they're doing, they are changing the society and forcing the society to accept things. And most people in the middle, which I consider myself right of center a little bit, and I'm conservative, but I don't think I'm a Nazi. But on the other hand, most people with my mindset say, well, you know, that's your, do your own thing, but don't bring that on me. And, you know, if I want to tell my kids that that's immoral, or my nephew or my stepdaughter, anyone, that's my right to do that.
Absolutely. It certainly is.
And what I'm saying, the Bible does say it's sinful. Now, if you want to edit the Bible and take that out, that's okay. But the Bible does refer to it as being sinful behavior.
Well,
so is adultery, so is lying, so is stealing. And maybe we make too big a deal, but you have to realize that...
Well, we are in point of fact, David, cafeteria Christians, aren't we?
I am a sinner, sir. I believe Jesus is the Savior of the world, but I'm a sinner.
No, but we're cafeteria...
I'm not perfect at all myself.
When we're talking about this pick and choose the parts that you like and don't like, we're cafeteria Christians, because if you're going to buy into the Leviticus business about... men lying with men and men putting on the raiment of women. And
I understand.
Then, because you mentioned it, you know, you really don't have any, you need to get back there and observe the old Hebrew dietary laws where you can't eat shellfish and you can't eat meat and dairy. Right, but the thing is, these are what we're dealing with in the religion industry, right, David? Are people who want to take they want to take the saving grace of Jesus Christ, but they would prefer to salt it down real good and dry it up into a little bitty nub with the Old Testament hateful Jehovah business.
Right. Well, I have another point. If I could, I know I'm taking up a lot of your time.
That's okay. That's okay.
But another point that I have is the people that are in these movements, they're trying to change society. They say society is wrong, and we're all homophobic. People think like I do. And what it is, when you have the burden on you to change society, you have two imperatives you have to enforce. You have to have a moral imperative, and you have to have a democratic imperative. And they don't have a moral imperative by the Christian Bible, and they don't have a majority either. More than half the people, if you surveyed people and said, should you kill homosexuals, the people would say, no, that's ridiculous.
No, there's a whole lot of people, David, that would say you should kill homosexuals.
No, but the majority wouldn't say that. But if you ask people if it's simply sinful behavior, I guarantee you more than 50% would say yes.
And that's
they lose on both counts.
Yeah, but that's one of the problems, David.
Change society.
David, that's one of the problems, because you talk about this majoritarianism,
and moral.
On the majoritarianism, travel back 50 years. A majority of people in this country believed that God ordained that the races should be kept separate. We know that that's...
The Bible doesn't say that specifically, though. It does mention homosexuality specifically.
Back up. How about the sons of Ham?
That doesn't mean it's justified. That meant that it was prophecy. And that turned out to be true, but the Bible didn't say that was justified.
Well, you know what?
The Bible said that would be prophesied, and it turned out to be true, even though it was immoral.
Prior to the Civil War, preachers stood in the pulpit and declared that slavery was ordained by God.
Because he said it was the fulfillment of prophecy.
No, David, because Jesus spoke to the condition of slavery. And that he didn't say slavery was wrong, therefore it was okay. They did that in the 1940s, 30s, 20s, in the 50s. Preachers stood in the pulpit. Please, David, I'll let you talk.
I apologize.
Again, ministers mounted to the pulpit to declare that segregation was against the will of Almighty God, and the majority stood up and cried Hosanna and said, Amen. That's the way it should be. And these people, these degenerates who want to change our society and start treating Negroes like human beings, are an offense unto the nostrils of the Almighty. It happened, David. It happened all over this country. The church into which I was baptized took a formal stance against the Civil Rights Act.
Right.
And that was the Southern Baptist Church.
Okay, it's all over the place. And I personally believe, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, but just looking at history and trying to learn from history and cast that into the future, we're going to move into a future, and we're already seeing it in the polling data of the next generation. Where they look at gay people and they look at the attitudes of my generation and the older generation, and they say, what a bunch of weirdos.
Yes, sir.
Why can't people just be people and be left alone?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Just in your opinion, and then I'd like to have a follow-up question, is homosexuality sinful, and can you explain to me in some logical way why you think it is not?
Okay, you are presuming the answer. And you are correct.
If you feel that way.
I don't believe that it is sinful. I don't believe that it does any. I don't believe it does any harm to anyone else in the society.
Okay.
Some form of homosexuality exists in every aspect of living creatures, whether it be lower level animals or higher level animals. There are always some who cling to their own gender as opposed to the other gender.
Well, so does mental illness. It's of nature too.
We could now see that's what you.
Well, I mean, but that's not a justification morally though. The Bible says we're to separate ourselves from nature and be holy.
Morals.
And technically, David, we might all be slightly bisexual when we're born, but when you have God in you, you reject that. That's my point.
Well, it's kind of like, what was his name? The Reverend something James Hargis. I talked about him a few nights ago. He got caught, and he was the president of the American Christian University, whatever, something out in Tulsa.
Yes, sir.
He got caught in bed with a bride and a groom. And when he was caught, he said, well, it's not my fault. It's the genes and the chromosomes.
Okay. Well, sir, I'm going to say one more thing and I'll get off here because I don't take up a lot of your time.
But that's all right. I enjoy the conversation.
I am an imperfect person.
Mm-hmm.
I have done wrong things in my life. I have sinned in my life. I consider myself a sinner who believes in God. I believe in the Bible. But like I say, I'm a sinner. And what I'm saying is, the difference that I'm saying is, I'm ashamed of the things I've done. Whereas the people that are doing the things that they're promoting, there's no shame. And like I say, I'm embarrassed about some of the things I've done in my life. But it's wrong. And I wouldn't go to the society and say, well, I've done it, so I'm going to make it right. That's my position. I've done a lot of bad things in my life.
I understand that, but you are starting a priori from a determination that it is wrong to be gay.
Well, the Bible says that. But, I mean, if you want to edit the Bible, we can edit the Bible. But the Bible does say that, sir.
It says that, again, this is ground we've covered. Okay. It says it in everything after Jesus' life and before Jesus' life. When in fact, you know, they asked Jesus, they said, what is the greatest commandment? He said, you know, love God. And they said, the second one, he said, okay, well, number two is love your neighbor as yourself. Well, you'll recall, David, that doesn't occur in the Decalogue that you should love your neighbor as yourself, does it? No, it doesn't.
And none of us do that, really. I don't either.
And you'll notice also that at that point, they quit. They didn't say, okay, well, that's number two. What's number three, Jesus?
He's giving broad, inspirational things, which are very important. I'm not diminishing them. But he's not saying that sin is not sin, though.
No, he's not saying sin is not sin. But I tell you what, when love your neighbor as yourself comes right after love your God, it's gonna be pretty hard to hate the queers.
Well, but if I'm doing something wrong and someone approaches me the right way and they say, well, David, you know, you really you're doing something wrong here, and you know, then I don't.
But I'm a rational creature, and you're gonna have to tell me, David, and I'm it's gonna be all over the message board. Bob just said he's gay. No, I'm not. I'm a rational creature, and if you're telling me I'm doing something wrong,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna have to prove it to me.
Well, now, how can you prove that it's right?
Now you can. No, I'm not being called upon to prove that it's right. It is something. It is something that. It is something that is. David, it's something that happens. It is something that exists in humankind and has existed for, you know, since we climbed down out of the trees. As far as I can tell,
some of our negative behaviors are natural in nature too that are really bad, like dogs eating each other. You know,
but those are dogs. We, you know.
I mean, some of animal behavior. But
again,
not a good thing.
You know, again, it occurs to us as natural that if you go in and steal somebody, if you go in and rape somebody's wife, I think Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, Jew, Muslim, atheist are all going to say that was a wrong act.
And Jesus never mentioned that.
But we're all going to say that was a wrong act.
But Jesus never mentioned it.
Wait, David, we're all going to say that that was a wrong act.
I agree, sir. You're right.
And we can determine that murder is wrong. And we can, and if you want to get Jesus, we can determine that walking by the suffering is wrong.
Yeah, well, like I say, I agree with you, sir.
But in point of fact, having taken all of that into consideration, if on the other hand, and you can apply this to a number of situations, you're going to have to convince me that that acts that only concern private individuals in their own privacy, because I think privacy is a real and potent right, and a mark of true civilization. You're going to have to convince me that something that goes on in the privacy of a relationship between two individuals and does not have 10 cents worth of impact on the rest of the world, civilization, the universe, whatever. You're going to have to convince me, and you can't use 5,000-year-old mythology to do it. You're going to have to convince me that it is wrong per se.
Okay. Well, like I say, another debate about homosexuality is whether it's innate versus learned behavior. And I can't prove with definitively what it is, because I'm not a scientist and I'm not God. And
I understand.
Some of the scientists that have put out research have been found to be flawed in their research. But I can say this, that I can with certainty say that some homosexual behavior is learned. Because if you go back into ancient Greece and ancient Rome, Julius Caesar, Alexander the Great had male lovers, some of the Roman emperors did. And in the Spartan culture, all the men, almost all of them, had gay lovers. Now, you go to Greece today with the Greek Orthodox Church, and I'm sure some of the homosexuals are there that are hidden, but it's very rare that it's done openly.
No, the modern Greeks are positively homophobic.
Yeah. Do you agree that some homosexual behavior is learned behavior?
I believe that some behavior, some of all behavior, is learned behavior. A heterosexual guy like the guy that wanted to run against Barack Obama, the Republican, Jack Ryan, he liked to take his wife to public sex clubs in New York and watch other guys do it with her. Okay,
no, he's a freak.
That is learned behavior. Okay, so is a gay person going to a bathhouse. Okay, in neither instance, barring the passage of transmission of disease, it's not my call. But in either instance, those are behaviors which are learned. Now, on the other hand, was Jack Ryan's fundamental heterosexuality learned? I sincerely doubt it. Neither is the fundamental homosexuality of the guy on the way to the bathhouse. David, great conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate your courtesy.
All right. Thank you very much, and hope to hear from you again.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. I'm sorry for the folks who are on hold. Please stick with me. I'll go right back to the phones. I promise, as soon as we come back from the news, I'm going to go and put an ice pack on my head and watch Prattle and George for a little bit if he's still on. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On. Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street.
Yo, what's up, baby? Want to learn some history?
I got live learning, beautiful books inside.
And don't expect anyone to just offer you an education.
Who needs a high school diploma, huh?
Unfortunately, you can't buy a diploma from some guy with a briefcase. But there is one way you can get the educational skills you and your family need for free, with free family learning programs. Call 1-877-FAMLIT-1 for information on free GED, computer training classes, and other family learning programs. That's 1-877-FAMLIT-1.
Check it out. You want your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
After all, you can't get your education on the street. Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. The first step to a better life. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
If you're an older adult, be medicine smart. For the free brochure, As You Age, a guide to aging, medicines, and alcohol, call 1-800-662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
Do you need a speaker for a civic or educational group? The Speakers Bureau at the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection will provide a speaker on a variety of environmental topics. Call 1-800-654-5227 and ask for the Speakers Bureau.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast. And now, here's the five-day forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Tonight, rain and a threat of storms overnight down to 46. And tomorrow, again, a wet one. We have showers in the morning, along with showers in the afternoon with the threat of storms, breezy 63. Back to 63 for Saturday. Our unsettled weather pattern continues with showers and storms in the morning, windy, and a chance of rain for the afternoon Saturday. I'm meteorologist Stephanie DeLuca from the Weather Channel.
Thank you for listening to the station that puts you one-on-one with the people and the issues that matter most to you. News Talk 620 WWNR. He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And we're going right back to the phones. 252-6200 is the number outside Beckley, 800-620-9967 when a line clears. Let me try to... I guess it's a question of priorities. When the dominant religion... when the dominant Christian sect in Africa is Roman Catholicism, and that continent is utterly being eaten alive by the HIV virus, and it's being passed from mothers to newborn babies, and it has little or nothing to do with homosexuality, and the church is out there worrying about Harry Potter and whether a gay couple can adopt in Spain, I think you're out of priority in terms of the message of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter. Okay, take that for what it is. I've babbled enough. Let's go to the phones. Christina is with us. Hey, Christina, haven't heard from you in a while.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. I haven't been able to get on the phone and talk to anybody. We've had a kind of a family crisis, and it's ongoing, and I'm just going to pray to God. But I want you to know that I listen to the program every chance I get when I'm off, and if I'm in the car, of course I listen on the car radio, and you still are a master of being a fantastic moderator and conversationalist, because you can hold your own in any conversation and not show your anger, which is better than I can do.
Well, thank you.
I get so informed when I talk to you. I mean, listen to your program, and a lot of religious issues I don't understand. I had a problem with the Catholic Church about the molestation of the altar boys. You know, it had been going on forever. And
I don't think they
never talk about that. You know, that's such an important issue.
Well, you know, I hadn't caught on to this story until I was listening to Air America last night. The Holy See in Rome has asked to be dismissed from a lawsuit naming it and a diocese and a parish and a priest, for the kiddie diddlers.
Yeah.
And the church is saying, let us out. We didn't have anything to do with it.
It's hard to believe that the Pope surely... Surely they had to have known all this. Of course they did. You know, being that I'm from Massachusetts and the cardinal law issue, and I mean, you're embarrassed. You know, it's just horrible for the children, because these are emotional scars, and they never go away. But I wanted to take this time, if I could, to thank Jim. A couple of months ago, I think it was in February, I was on vacation. He said some very nice things about me, and I really didn't deserve them, but I wanted to thank Jim. He's very, very intelligent, and it's very, very generous and kind of him to say those things. And what I wanted to ask you about is, what in the world is going on in Charleston with Joe Manchin? I'm 110% Democrat. However, Joe has always, to me, been like a Republican in sheep's clothing. I just... In the primary, I was for I wasn't for Jackson. It was the
Jim
other
Lees.
Lawyer that was
Jim
running.
Jim Lees.
Humphreys.
No, Jim Lees.
Lees. I'm sorry, Jim Lees. And I went to one of his parties with one of the nurses. I just happened to be off one Friday 2-3 years ago, and it was down in Charleston, some big hotel. I'm sorry, and I met Mr. Lees, and he seems like a very, very intelligent man. I had nothing against Lloyd Jackson, and being my daughter's a lawyer, she was for Jackson, but I never really never really wanted to back Joe. And, of course, everybody thought I was crazy. But look what's come down. Two men fired, and now we're hearing that they served at the, what is it, the whim and pleasure of the governor?
I think you've said it dead on there, Christina. Technically, it's the will and pleasure, but I think what we're seeing here, that it is, in fact, the whim and pleasure.
This is terrible.
This is a purge.
Yes, it is.
I can't.
Well, what have they got to fear?
Nothing. You got to understand, the Manchin campaign was a juggernaut. Pure and simple. You couldn't have derailed that train under any circumstance. If you want a historical comparison, Joe is reminding me, and I'm probably going to get myself in trouble with my Democratic base. I don't want to, but I draw historical comparisons. It's kind of what I do. Joe is reminding me a lot, now not on the racial issues, but Joe is reminding me a lot of the iron-fisted, authoritarian Southern governor of yesteryear.
Yeah.
I just flashed on it when I heard the story about the black man who was in charge of juvenile corrections.
And apparently he had done an exemplary job.
He'd been in some form or another since the days of, I think, Rockefeller.
And plus he's disabled, I mean.
Yeah, and he just got purged. And it's so much, I'll tell you who it reminded me of, Christina. Huey Long.
Yeah.
Huey
yeah.
Long.
Oh, my goodness gracious. But Joe, I mean, he's a nice person, and I did know he and his wife Gail is sweet, too. But, you know, I've always thought that he represented big business and the Republican agenda and not the grassroots Democrats. I'm real disappointed. And didn't he not call a special session before the inauguration actually took place? Some kind of a thing he had?
He called the special session before he ever delivered It was pretty close.
He was really wanting to push his agenda.
Well, right, and
I mean, super fast. And I've met Bob Wise at some over at the Armory. And to tell you the truth, I mean, Joe is handsome and nice and personable. But I still like Bob Wise.
Well,
I think he made a big mistake. But who doesn't make mistakes?
Well, certainly, Christina. I don't fully understand it. But I saw something happen, and maybe it was because of the margin of victory with Joe Manchin.
A lot of Republicans, obviously.
Well, obviously, and I have never seen, I've been paying attention to the legislature for as long as I've been here, and that goes back to about 1983. I have never seen a more servile, submissive legislature than what I saw in this last session. It was enough to gag you.
Yeah.
And the thing.
Yes, men.
Yeah. And from both parties in large part.
No. Hate that though.
You want your three branches of government to be truly independent.
Right.
And that's gone. It's gone in Washington, and it's apparently
almost
gone
like
in Charleston.
It's a quiet dictator. I hate to say that, but I'm so disappointed in his agenda, especially with the that third party,
bad
car insurance thing. And
oh, yeah.
Well, my daughter understands. It's because actually she was a personal injury lawyer, so was my son-in-law, and now she's in administrative up at Mount State University since the last 2 years. But she did tell me that, yes, there's a lot of what they have, some frivolous lawsuits. Yeah, right. But you ought to see. And of course I wouldn't, and she doesn't give the names, of course, because she's a professional. Doctors have botched up women right here in Raleigh General.
Oh.
I mean, and that's why they have to go to the attorneys, because you would get nothing. And these women are affected for the rest of their lives, their health and everything.
Yes.
And, because of something a doctor did or did not do. And if you could read some of these awful things, it's all true.
Oh, yeah, and Christina, we tended to talk about the third-party bad faith issue in terms of car wrecks. We eliminated third-party bad faith altogether. So
that means so a patient gets injured and...
Well, I'll tell you a little horror story. There's a company, I think they're still writing insurance in this state, it's called Medical Assurance of West Virginia. And it was their stated policy some years back, I don't know if it still is, it was their stated policy a few years back that we don't care what the doctor did to you, we are going to drive you all the way to trial in the hopes that even if we're dead wrong, we might just luck out and get a jury on our side.
Right.
So, we're talking, we're talking about race ipsa loquitur situations where you don't even have to have an expert. We're talking about situations where the doctor leaves tools inside you and sews you up.
Actually, that was one of the cases, actually.
And Medical Assurance of West Virginia said, we don't care. You're going to try that case. Or we're not, and we will appeal it all the way to the Supreme Court. We do not care. And that is the very definition of bad faith, and that's gone now.
Yeah. You know, it's terrible, because, like you said, the only thing we did have is that right, you know, to go to court and air our issues in court and maybe a trial by jury or something. Everything's taken away because, and you're right, it's all about greed.
Well, Christina, when you talk to your daughter and your son-in-law, ask them, because I don't know the answer, ask them how this third-party bad faith ban, ask them how that's going to square with the West Virginia constitutional provision that says the doors of the courts of West Virginia shall be, not maybe, shall be open to all, because I can't make them line up.
It's just awful. Everything's just going so fast, and really, to save $8 a month on your insurance, my gosh, what kind of trade-off? You know, this is terrible.
Like I said, don't spend it all at the same pump.
I won't go take it to Walmart, that's for sure. Well, Bob, I enjoyed speaking with you.
It's so good to hear from you.
I learn so much when I listen to your program. I really do. And you have a lot of intelligent people call in, and I learn more about the issues just from a lot of the people that call in. They have a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very learning experience and very entertaining. So I keep up the good work. I'm never bored. And I can't wait for 1900 hours to come so I can listen to your program.
Thank you, Christina. Take care. All right, quick break, then back to the phones. And it is what it is. And what I is Bob.
Send your visiting friends and relatives when they visit this year. Make plans to visit the Southern West Virginia Convention and Visitors Bureau's Travel Expo at Crossroads Mall April 30th and May 1st to learn about all the great attractions and activities right here in our own backyard, Southern West Virginia. Got it in you? Call 252-2244 for more information.
Lawyer, doctor, teacher, pilot.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Architect. Actor, politician, writer.
What does your child want to be?
Musician, scientist, chef.
Well, if you struggle with reading, both of you have little chance of becoming any of those things. But nothing's worse than giving up on your dreams. That's why with family learning programs, parents and kids learn together, so they succeed together on things like computer and interview skills, GED preparation, and English as a second language, plus preschool education for kids. The results are amazing. But what's truly amazing is that the only thing it will cost you is your time. Family Learning Programs, the first step to a better life. Turn your life around today by calling toll-free 1-877-FAMLIT1. And be what you've always wanted to be.
Happy.
Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Chris Freeman, a 2002 Olympian and the number one cross-country skier in the nation, and a proud member of the U.S. Ski Team. I'm also one of millions of Americans living with diabetes, and the spokesman for the Lilly for Life Awards, a national awards program that recognizes people with diabetes or people within the diabetes community who have accomplished outstanding success. Are you one of those people, or do you know someone you want to nominate? For more information, call toll-free 888-545-5115.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 20 minutes after 9 o'clock, straight to the phones. Wayne. Hey, Wayne, you're head on. There you are.
Whoa.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Funny how that works.
Yeah, I thought I was talking there for a while and nothing was happening.
Well, you know, let's be careful about it. I mean, my God, the phones are working.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You got to kind of
happy about that.
Yeah, the phone, the arm you're not holding the phone with, you got to kind of stick it out and put your leg in the air and hold your phone just the right way, and you know maybe the phones will keep working.
You have to do that. I don't. See, mine, I didn't get struck by anything. golly, listen, you were talking. One thing I wanted to talk about was gas, but. I watched a little bit of the president in the beginning, and, you know, a little bit is about all I could handle.
Yeah, you cleaned your chin up.
Yeah, I'll read about it tomorrow.
All the vomiting.
It's real hard to watch him.
Oh. Did you? I noticed, I didn't catch it long. Did you see any lumps in his back? Did he have the transmitter on?
They didn't show the back.
Okay.
Well, I didn't see it. Anyway. So, but he had a, he started talking about his Social Security plan.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of that.
Well, but this was in the beginning.
Oh, okay.
And he understands. Now, listen to this. He understands that some people are leery of the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they don't really trust it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to give them another option, that if they want to, they can invest just in treasury bonds that have the full backing and strength of the United States government.
You mean those worthless IOUs?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It hurts, I Wayne. Mean, it hurts.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Did he stand in Parkersburg and say this bunch of worthless pieces of paper?
Well, Parkersburg, he did it tonight. I saw it with my own eyes.
Oh,
during
okay,
a break.
Well, I didn't see that part.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it's just full of IOUs.
Oh, God. Well, now that's another option. You know,
yeah,
if
I'm
you
gonna
feel
take
insecure investing in stocks, we'll give you these worthless pieces of paper, these IOUs,
yeah, I'm gonna
to
take,
make you feel better.
I'm going
to
take an IOU from a Republican. Man, I don't take IOUs in poker games.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. You know, the guy's hard to watch. And, well, you know, I mean, somebody asked him a question about the polls. Well, you can't govern by the polls. I mean, you know, his Social Security plan probably had a better chance till he went on his 60-day trip.
like I said to Jethro, sometimes it's like watching Little Tark the Circus and the clowns just keep coming out.
Oh, God, it is. It's amazing. But
he makes my head hurt, Wayne.
Yeah, he does. But unfortunately, you know, he makes more than that hurt. You know, pocketbooks.
Well, you know, I've got this press release from Congressman Ray Hall, and the last paragraph is, the next to last paragraph is just beautiful. It says, to put it bluntly, if the taxpayer is feeling the pain of an energy crisis, it is coming from the derrick sticking out of his back pocket, and the energy bill does nothing to ease it.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, in USA Today, and this is ironic, they're talking Exxon Mobil's first quarter earnings have soared 44%.
Yeah.
From last year.
Yeah, that would be $7.86 billion in profit this quarter.
Exactly. Now, is that not gouging? I mean, you know, don't talk to me about how 55-gallon a barrel oil. I mean, if you made 44% more this quarter than you did in the first quarter of last year, it's not because the, you know...
Yeah, those are profits, Wayne.
Are profits.
That's money that ExxonMobil didn't pay to Mexico or Canada or Venezuela,
right,
or the Saudis.
And then there was a similar article. I guess their CEO is getting ready to retire or something. His biggest dilemma is they have too much cash, and they don't know what to do with it.
I know it may be a little bit of a reference, but you've watched your fair share of Bugs Bunny cartoons in the past, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
You remember when they left the mobster babyface Finster on Bugs's doorstep?
Yes.
And he peers through the keyhole and he sees babyface Finster in there with the tattoo on his shoulder, shaving, you know, and the mother, and he's got the cigar sticking out of his mouth. And he catches Finster playing with the loot. How many times do I have to tell you not to play with the dirty money?
I
yeah, and then this Exxon Mobil CEO, I'm worried sick. I've eaten ulcer in my guts. I'm on the purple pill, Nexium, now because of my ulcer, because of worrying about what I'm going to do with all this filthy money.
Right. He's like, what's his name, McDuck, sitting in the vault.
Yeah, Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah. And, it's totally unbelievable. Then, you know, I'm reading this world, and I come home, and the stock market went down, I don't know, 100 and something points or something today. And then it says that one of the biggest drags was ExxonMobil.
No!
I'm going, how can that be? And then the guy said, even though their earnings were up 44%, they didn't meet expectation. My God.
Yeah. And if you're the CEO at ExxonMobil, you got to just throw your hands in the air and go, what the hell do I have to do to please these people?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now there, does that not say something about your expectations?
Oh, yeah.
What did they expect?
Oh, and here's another.
We haven't ripped off the people enough.
Yeah, you didn't get into the watch pocket, I guess.
Right.
I mean, and here's another one. Some poor schlub in the prognosticating department at ExxonMobil got fired today because he let Exxon say that their expectations were higher than what they came out.
Yeah, he promised them they were going to make 54% more instead of 44%.
He's in the soup line now.
Oh, gosh. Somebody calls up and apparently, they don't know that Bush won the election because they start talking about how John Kerry never saw a gas tax that he didn't like or whatever. Listen, your idiot won, and we are now suffering the consequences of that.
Oh, no, you're Bush bashing again, Wayne.
Oh, yeah, Bush bashing. I mean, my. It's.
Oh, I know.
Well, Jethro says it best, and I'm not going to take his line. My God, it's unbelievable.
I know.
Unbelievable.
You just want to sit. Sometimes you just want to sit around, Wayne, and do this.
Right. And I think that it's frustrating because there's kind of a bright side to the higher energy prices in that, hopefully somebody will start thinking about alternative energy and conserving and, how come we haven't asked Detroit to raise, to put out cars that make more, or get more miles per gallon,
Well, and again, that point was very well made a week or so ago. If Detroit had been mandated simply to come up with a fleet average of 40 miles a gallon.
Yes.
40 miles, that includes the 5 mile a gallon SUVs and everything.
Average.
Right. 40 mile a gallon average. It would have saved us as much oil as will ever be gotten out of Anwar.
Oh, yeah. That's,
But we couldn't, that would be communism.
Yes, it would. I mean, the poor corporations have a right to rip you off.
Oh, Lord.
I think that's in the Constitution. man, it's unbelievable.
It is. It is. How much Xanax or Klonopin or Valium did they have to give that guy to make him be able to say the American consumer will not be gouged without just breaking into the mirthful, ear-splitting, side-splitting peals of laughter, rolling on the ground, kicking his feet, going, I can't believe I just said that.
Well, they're giving him some good stuff, yeah, I guess, because he does do it with, I don't know if it's a straight face. It's hard to, he always has this smirk.
The smirk, yeah.
It's very hard to watch him.
Well, come on, Wayne, if you were him and you were entering into your fifth year in office, wouldn't every time the camera turned on you, wouldn't you be smirking just inside going, I'm president. They really made me president.
He has to pinch himself.
Yeah, how can you not smirk?
Huh? Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's going, he's standing there going,
yeah, and the Washington Press Corps really was bearing down on him tonight, weren't they?
Oh, God.
all those hardball questions. Who needs Jimmy Jeff Ganny Guck when you got that crowd?
Oh, and I hope Jethro's right about that. I mean, I saw something today about the Secret Service being, you know, questioned, like, why don't they know who's in the White House?
Yeah, because...
But, I mean, this Gannon story's been out there for, what, 3 months?
Yeah.
And, you know...
Newsflash, Wayne.
Yeah.
How long's the Valerie Plame story been out there?
That guy's still on television. He should be in jail.
Yeah, so you know what to look for.
What's his name there, Keith?
Novacula.
Yeah, Novacula. There you go.
Wayne, we got to hit it, man.
Oh, that goes together.
Yeah, he's undead. We'll talk to you later.
All right, brother. Have a good
one. See ya.
Bye.
All right, we're at the bottom of the hour. Time for our last break of the night. Then we'll come back. More of your phone calls. Finally got a couple of lines open. 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. No gouging. I'm Bob.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Senator Byrd has taken the plight of a West Virginia National Guard soldier's widow straight to the top of the Defense Department. In a Senate hearing yesterday, Byrd told Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld that Lisa Vance of Morgantown has had difficulty in getting government benefits. Lisa and Sergeant Gene Arden Vance Jr. were married in the fall of 01. His unit was put on alert after the 11th, and he went with his unit to Afghanistan, where he was killed in May of 2002. Byrd says Pentagon paperwork errors nearly cost Lisa Vance $50,000 in life insurance funds. He says she has never received the financial counseling to which she's entitled, and she received no explanation of the health insurance benefits that she was eligible for immediately after her husband's death. Byrd questioned the military's efforts to train its casualty assistance officers to assist grieving widows. Charleston-Jaeger Airport will undergo a $900,000 expansion this summer. Airport Director Rick Atkinson made that announcement yesterday at a meeting of the airport's governing board. Atkinson says four gates will be added in addition to another jet bridge that would enable Jaeger passengers to walk to their plane without being exposed to weather. The man who made a documentary about Warren McGraw's first campaign for state senate in 1972 has made another about McGraw's unsuccessful campaign last year to retain his seat on the state Supreme Court. The Last Campaign will premiere Sunday at the West Virginia International Film Festival in Charleston. Producer and director Wayne Ewing of Aspen, Colorado, will attend. And about 400 state workers will get a pay raise in July. Money's already in the new state budget. The raises go to caseworkers and supervisors in the Child Protective Services Division of DHHR. Governor Manchin proposed and state lawmakers approved a $3.3 million package that includes pay raises of about $2,000 for CPS workers and also money for hiring bonuses for new case workers in Berkeley, Jefferson, Monongalia, and also Wood counties. Periods of showers tonight, temperatures in the low 40s. For Friday, a chance of showers, warmer, thunderstorms possible by Friday afternoon, and Friday's high near 60. Showers and thunderstorms likely Friday night, much warmer, low 53. And showers and thunderstorms in the morning on Saturday, then partly cloudy in the afternoon, Saturday's high near 60. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Many parents don't think about the oral health of their babies until the first tooth appears. But there are some measures you can take, even before your baby is born, to help him or her have a healthy mouth. Dr. Alice Horowitz of the National Institute of Dental and Craniofacial Research advises,
mom should have good prenatal care. Most people don't realize it, but the baby teeth start to develop a few weeks after conception. There is a big impact of whether or not enough nutrients are consumed. Secondly, it's very important that in all cases, if at all possible, mom should nurse their babies.
Starting at birth, you can clean your baby's gums with a clean, damp washcloth. And as soon as teeth erupt, begin cleaning them with a moistened cloth or a small, soft-bristled toothbrush. Around the time of your baby's first birthday, You should call your dentist and ask when you should come in for the first checkup. This is Calvin Jackson at the National Institutes of Health, Bethesda, Maryland.
The world championship match had already lasted over 5 months. The young man was going strong. His story next on Biography for Radio.
The notion of a 40-hour work week is several hours short of reality. Working long hours is a given when you run your own business. And since it's tough to be away from your business during the day, we offer special gold key hours, early morning hours from 7 to 10, when we're open exclusively for business members. We know that time and money are important to you. Helping you make the most of both is why we're here. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
It was 1984. The World Chess Championship was underway between the reigning champion, Anatoly Karpov, the young newcomer. Karpov was a veteran, but his 21-year-old rival from Azerbaijan was said to be brilliant, a little eccentric. Before each match, he read Russian poetry. It gave him inspiration, he said. To win the championship, one player had to take 6 games, but the two were well matched. Game after game was a draw. Karpov was dog-tired. He had lost 22 pounds in the weeks of play and had been hospitalized several times. But he was one game from winning and wanted to play on. So it came as a shock when the International Chess Federation called off the match, saying the players were exhausted. The younger man was bitter, but a year later he got his revenge. At the age of 22, he beat Karpov and became the youngest ever world chess champion. In the years following, he made headlines by outwitting the chess-playing computer Deep Blue, and then later losing to the machine. In March 2005, he stunned the world by suddenly announcing his retirement. With his avid interest in Russian politics, it is unlikely to be the last we hear from chess genius Garry Kasparov. For Biography, I'm Lawrence Scott.
Biography is a trademark of A&D.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 22 minutes and change before 10 o'clock. And straight to the phones, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Ed is with us. Hey, Ed, I'm sorry you had to wait. Thanks for doing so, though.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing real good. I lost you after the Rush Limbaugh special you did, and that was great. That just a picture perfect of an imitation of what you've done to him. But I have two or three items I'd like to talk to, and tonight I got some. I want to bring up people like Mel Kessler,
yeah,
Wayne, Jim, Chris, Jethro, and of course, especially you and Dr. Beal, and just compliment them on the stand they take and not being afraid to speak out and get on here and go against these idiots that comes on those programs. But I was going to address Jethro. He can get old Steve. All he has to do is say, this is Jethro, and Steve goes 9 octaves higher. But Jim is barred. But I really appreciate the rest of those guys. But I was going to tell you this morning, or this afternoon, old Wendy got on there with and said we should have machine guns on the border. And Dr. Beal was, I know he was shocked that an idiot like that could come up with some stuff like that. And he confronted Jeff on what to do about the people that's already here. Should we kill them too? And so forth. And it's ironic. Of course, Jeff serves a good purpose. They are proof that they lined up a whole bunch of idiots and picked him as head of the class. And it's good to see him come out like that, because he makes the rest of the public that's listening to him realize what they are. So he does serve a purpose.
Well, Ed, I heard a little bit about the comments about the ones that are already here, ship them back.
Uh-huh.
And, I just wonder how far back that goes. Now, there's a new senator from Colorado. His name's Ken Salazar. His Hispanic roots go back literally 500 years. I wonder if he gets shipped back. And of course, it's not all that surprising, you know, to hear racist thinking out of a Republican, because of course, you know, a big component of the Klan is a we need to put them all on a boat and ship them all back to Africa.
Yeah.
You know, you've heard that before. So,
oh, yeah.
So is it any surprise to hear some Republicans say that we need to...
The simplest forms of them will surface, won't it?
Yeah.
But I had that to make a comment. If you didn't have any further comment,
no,
on
that's
I was
okay.
going to comment on David. You did a good job on him. And, you know, instead of worrying about somebody else being gay or whether they wanted to have abortion, he ought to realize that ain't none of his damn business. And I'm not for either one of those things.
No.
And I'm straight. But, you know, why don't he, from the pulpit or whatever his preaching is, why don't he talk about what George Bush is doing with killing these babies over in Iraq and killing our servicemen, killing those women over there? And, you know, I haven't watched 1 minute of George Bush's thing, but it's on the television. I heard him say, basically, that we wouldn't put up with any price gouging. What a damn joke. Yeah,
I know.
Absolutely. I get so daggone stinking mad that stuff like that that I haven't got enough sense to talk, really.
Well, what, you know, it just, what it boils down to, Ed, is you've got to understand his definition of price gouging. And for George Bush, the definition of price gouging, you know, ExxonMobil hasn't even gotten to it yet. $7.86 billion this quarter. In
and they
profit,
didn't reach expectations.
And they didn't reach expectations, and yet that's still... I'm like you. I got to wonder what number constitutes... Is it? Do they have to get to $10 billion before it's price gouging, $15 billion? Or is there just... We won't tolerate price gouging because we don't believe... You know, remember, these are the people who aren't into the reality scene. You know, we won't tolerate price gouging because we don't believe there's any such thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got to remember, they hate any kind of regulation. And price gouging is a function of federal regulatory law. Now, the Republican Party has stated time and time and time again, Ed, that they hate regulations.
Yeah.
So if he says there won't be any price gouging...
Deregulate.
Yeah, right. So if he says there's not going to be price gouging, there's not going to be any price gouging because he doesn't believe there's any such thing.
Mm-hmm. But on another point I was going to make... Wendy said, well, Mexicans has got plenty down there if it's developed, but they won't let the United States come in there and develop. You know, yeah, we really need, with all the stuff that our corporations have done and the scandals that they've been involved with, why would any country, Bob, want to have us in there?
Well, but that comment kind of took me aback a little bit too, Ed. Because it's not something I'm proud of, but I can open the door of my Dodge truck, okay? And on the inside panel of the driver's side door of that Dodge truck, it says, assembled in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a Dodge truck, and it was assembled by the Chrysler Corporation in Mexico. I would think that an American corporation was doing business down there if they were able to assemble that truck there.
Yep, and not only that, you have other parts made and shipped in here. But I wanted to comment on that a little bit, and then I had Wendy also made a comment. These bankruptcy laws, you know, and of course they're against any condition, but they failed to tell the whole truth. Yes, there were so many thousands, 100,000 bankruptcies filed, but about 50-some% of them was because of sickness and injury. And they forgot to tell that. But it seems like that they've got, they're a glutton for torture on the worker and the working class. They don't want to see them made whole on anything.
No, well, if you treat the middle and the working class like human beings, Ed, you're not going to wind up with what the Republicans want.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people will say I'm exaggerating. I'm not. I'm as serious as a heart attack on this.
I know you are.
The Republican Party is in search of an America that is made up of very few, very rich, and the rest of us very poor and very dependent on them.
Yeah. Feudalism. What you want is the third world countries, Bob. You either have the super rich and the controllers or the people living. It's like you go into some of these places and you see the big Coca-Cola signs and all this fancy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But go out behind there and you find the cardboard huts.
Right.
Now, when we reach that daggone thing, then I guess they'll be satisfied. And the fact of the matter is people like Jeff don't realize yet that he's a worker and that he is going to receive the repercussions of what he is trying to back and suck around to now.
Well, there is, it was a long time back, one of our callers, Paul, not local Paul, but he said that, you know, these poor, benighted individuals who argue Republican positions and yet work every day for a living, they don't realize it, but they are very being very cynically used, and what the term he used is, they are nothing but cannon fodder in the culture wars.
Yep.
And, yeah. And because, you know, a working guy, a working stiff, Ed, who calls himself a Republican, doesn't understand that a real Republican wouldn't give him the time of day.
Yeah. Well, we had a guy named Green in the AFL-CIO years ago. He tried to get in that status, and he would bask in the sun with all the big corporate people, and he found out real quick that he was in a... that he was the rear end hole of all of them, and they was just using him. I mean, it happens to the best of them, but it's really pitiful that they don't know more than what's just on the surface. They don't know the undertow that they're playing with.
Oh, and it has an ugly habit of pulling you under.
Oh, it will.
And you know, that's why the Republican Party has these wedge issues, whether it's guns or rocks with the Ten Commandments on it or gay marriage, all these cultural wedge issues that are nobody's business except the individuals involved. That's why they have these, because true Republicanism cannot speak to a middle-class working person. It can't do it because it's all about, what Bush called this evening, the investor class. That's, that is the Republican base. The people that make $1 million, $10 million, $20 million, $100 million a year, that's the Republican base, and what they worship is the almighty dollar, Ed, and the fact of the matter is that the people, the middle-class workers out here that they've got suckered into thinking that they're Republicans, they keep them motivated with the Ten Commandments and the queers, and they do that because they know that's the only thing they can get them to get out and vote at the polls for.
Well, I'll tell you the mentality level. I got a grandson about 10 years old, and I was talking politics in front of him a little bit, and he said, well, I'm going to be a Republican.
Yeah.
And I said, boy, I ought to put a foot across your hind end right now. Why? I said, because that is the most, you aren't one of theirs. You don't raise that way. There's nothing about you that's a Republican. He said, well, they're always rich. I said, that's where the difference is. And I said, you ain't one of them, and you'll be lucky to ever be in the financial status that they're in. I said, so don't call yourself a Republican when you don't even know what one are.
Well, yeah, I know, Ed, and that's the thing. I would say probably 95% of the people in this state that call themselves Republican have no clue what it means to be one.
They don't know the platform. They don't know what the whole base, the first blocks are laid on, and it's not for them. But, I guess I've had my say, but it just burns me up to hear somebody talk about put the machine gun up against on a border.
Yeah, mow them down.
Dr. Bill asked him again, and I keep switching back and forth, Bob, and I apologize.
That's all right.
Probably can't, not letting you get a train of thought. But anybody that would make a statement like that has got a monopoly on ignorance. But the thing that got me is Dr. Bill said, you mean kill him? Jeff said, no. What the heck are you going to put a machine gun up for if you don't have bad intentions? That just kills my soul to hear stuff like it. And that's how inconsiderate these people are, that these are human beings we're talking about, And they're trying to find a better way, and I'm for them being illegals in here and not coming, not letting Republicans come around saying, well, they're part of our economy. They're taking jobs that American people don't want. You know, that sucks. That's the suckiest excuse.
Yeah, it is.
I've ever heard.
They would not, and I even hate calling them they. These Mexican immigrants would not be here, Ed, if there was not a genuine desire on the part of the rich to have that cheap labor.
That's exactly right. It's the benefit of the rich. And, you know, we shouldn't say they, and you're right about that. But they should be the people that we're talking about that entices them to be here. And they should be the ones that's getting their hind end kicked and put in prison and heavily fined and whatever.
Yeah, take a couple of these millionaires that hire people to work for them for $4 an hour and throw them in prison for 10 and 20 years, and you know what?
It'll stop.
It'll stop.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you one. On the way to Connecticut, I run into two van loads of Mexicans working there, spreading concrete and stuff like that. You know what they were? It was six in each van, and all of them chipped in to get motel rooms to pay for their motel. It's a cheap motel, probably $50-$60 that we stayed at. But they were all chipping in and paying just to make it. You know what they were making? What they were paying them?
What?
$4 an hour.
Yeah.
And that was in Pennsylvania. We was on our way to Connecticut when we saw that, and I spoke to them. Real nice guys. I have nothing against, the whole world is a labor pool.
Yeah.
And I have nothing against other workers, but there should be some protection for ours first, since it's our people, if you want to call them our people. The capitalists of this world, of this nation, are the ones that's putting out all of the money and the factories and stuff. They should look at us first.
Well, I tell you a little secret. You want to see labor blossom and grow and bloom and flourish again in this country, Ed?
Love it. I'd love to see it.
Then we need to change a few attitudes among labor. And just as the UMWA in its infancy had to learn quick that there was no such thing as a black miner or a white miner. As soon as organized labor in this country goes and starts to organize the immigrant laborers, you know what? Labor will blossom like a flower after the rain.
And also represent them like unions, like it started out.
Right.
But that, even the union leaders pit one group against another. And I'm coming from that perspective. That's where I come from. And I saw people. I saw right in my plant where we had one guy that resented a janitor making $8.54 an hour, and that was back in 70. And there should be more separation in the, you know, and I try to tell my answer to him, go up at Ford Garage and get them to reduce it on a percentage basis, that vehicle, on what I make and what he makes. Go to Kroger's and see if they'll reduce that loaf of bread by 8 or 10 cents on a loaf, and see how what he does. In other words, every one of us, a worker, is part of a bicycle wheel. We are the spokes.
Yeah.
And if you start taking spokes out and eliminate them, then you weaken the whole structure.
Well, you know, and management knows this, of course, Ed, and that's the way it's worked since from time immemorial. You know, if you can get the aluminum workers mad at the iron workers, and get the iron workers dissatisfied with the electricians, and get the electricians hacked off at the machinists, well, hell, if you're management, your job's done at that point.
Oh yeah, I mean, they're sitting back watching you fight.
Yeah,
we haven't got the target zeroed in. Then that we're against each other. And I had that. I run into that where, when the miners was out over that gas situation way back there.
Yeah.
When I think Arch Moore was in, we had a big run in because I was for if we're going out, all the unions go out.
Right.
You know, shut them down. stop the tax structure. This will loosen up everything. But I have guys, hey, that's a minor situation. That ain't nice. But if you're union, that is your situation. Yep. That's not just a coal miner situation. And until the mentality level gets to that high to where we have to bond together, and that's one thing about the Republicans. They're smart enough to know that that's the reason the holdup is on delay is like it is because they're so thick, they don't know how to get out of this mess.
Well, yeah.
And if the unions were that tight and worked together, then we could go somewhere, Bob.
Well, absolutely, Ed. I mean, you know, the thing we all have to figure out is if they measure your labor by the hour, and if they pay you by the hour, and you draw a wage, you are a worker. And I don't care if you work in plaster or cement or electricity or metal, you're all workers.
You're not in the status of what I was talking about, like Green that laid on the beaches with these corporate people. And a worker is never going to reach that goal because those people was born into that kind of situation and wealth generally, except the Bill Gates, and he understands more about what people's needs and compassion than most of any of these other big corporations, and that don't mean I agree with him.
No, there's been some real screw-ups at Microsoft lately.
Yeah, but at least he knows where the working class comes from.
Well, Ed, I sure did appreciate it, and I enjoyed the conversation as ever. You take care, and I hope we'll hear from you soon.
Sure thing, Bob. Thank you for your time.
Oh, always a pleasure. Take care. That's it for tonight. Thanks, everybody. Jim, Brian, Jethro, Ed, Wayne, Christina, David, first-time caller, as far as I could tell. You guys made it a very enjoyable evening, and I hope I contributed as well. The show tonight was produced by Intrepid. Yeah, he's Intrepid. Jesse Fulmer, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, indeed they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very good, very hard-working friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. The show is archived every night online at whiterosesociety.org. And Ben Birch does yeoman service in that regard, and we are indeed grateful. Back tomorrow night, Friday night edition, 7 o'clock. You be here, I'll be here. Hey, Agnes.